Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're in Davos as the World Economic Forum wraps up for another year. We're going to focus in particular on a new UBS white paper published at the 2018 iteration, which focuses on partnerships for the UN Sustainable Development Goals, which the bank sees as a crucial part of creating a shared future in a fractured world, the theme, of course, of this year's meeting. We'll hear from several of our regular panellists on the substance of the report and the importance of partnerships in driving the agenda, and we'll check in with one social entrepreneur whose work is all about inclusivity and creating opportunity. We start with Mark Haefeli, Global Chief Investment Officer of UBS Wealth Management. The World Economic Forum's theme, Mark, this year was creating a shared future in a fractured world. And I wanted to ask you first about the lessons you and your colleagues have learned in addressing those sorts of challenges. Is one of the central learnings picked up in the UBS white paper this past week, of course, that you can't achieve anything without partnerships?
As we've gone forward on our journey to be the number one investment manager in sustainable and impact investing, I think we've had to educate ourselves and we've had to partner with the best, hopefully the best in the world, experts in a variety of fields in sustainable multilateral development banks and people in the private equity side.
And Mark, further to that, what have you learned about multilateral development banks and the role they play, both in addressing the challenges and indeed in building all portfolios?
Well, the multilateral development banks have very interesting investment opportunities, but they weren't adapted to the needs and structures familiar to private clients. And so we felt really excited to be part of that and bring those assets and investments to private clients.
Mark Haefeli. Simon Smiles is UBS CIO for Ultra High Net Worth. And Simon, if I can turn to you next to pick up on the themes Mark's introduced there, in particular that core idea that you can't achieve anything without partnerships.
If you think about the Sustainable Development Goals being anticipated to cost between 5 and 7 trillion per annum through to 2030, there's no pool of capital which alone can actually help fund that. Governments have to play a role, multilateral development banks have to play a role, philanthropy has to play a role, and institutional and private wealth also have to play a role if we're going to have any hope of actually achieving these goals.
Simon, you mentioned multilateral development banks before. Can I ask you what you've learned about them and indeed the role they play in addressing these challenges and building portfolios?
The World Bank, the Asian Development Bank, any host of others, these are institutions focused on driving development. To do that, they have to raise capital. And among the sources of capital they raise are AAA-rated paper bonds, if you will. Interestingly, for private investors, particularly private wealth investors, the bonds of the World Bank actually offer a superior yield to treasuries, despite being AAA rated rather than AA rated, typically pick up 20 to 25 basis points on the curve. The reason for this is that they're not benchmark assets. So traditional investors, if they're going to invest in them, are actively taking portfolio risk. Hence, a relatively small amount of institutional portfolio is allocated to them. Private wealth investors can actually take advantage of that dislocation, get the higher rating, earn the higher yield, and use it as a core component of a cross-asset portfolio. And that, in fact, is exactly what we've done at UBS. We've rolled out the world's first 100% sustainable investing cross-asset portfolio for clients. It launched on the 3rd of January, and rather than high-grade bond exposure, it allocates instead to a variety of World Bank bonds, along with green bonds, three different sustainable equity strategies, and a new and purpose-built environmental, social, and governance activism strategy.
Simon Smiles, next up, can we turn, or return, I should say, to a theme we've discussed before here on the programme? There are new instruments out there that can help deliver SDG-compatible returns for investors and wealth managers. We've been tracking them, as I say, for some time. Can you tell us more about some other new instruments and how they're helping to deliver in this space?
First and foremost, clients are looking for investment performance. Secondly, when they look at sustainable investing products, they're looking, again, for investment performance, but also that the sustainable product does what it says it does. It's not greenwashing. So putting those two notions together, now we look to purpose-build this new sustainable investing cross-asset solution with a range of partners. And when we looked at the activism space, the ability to drive portfolio performance by engaging with companies with relatively poor environmental or social standards to improve those standards, thereby improving their impact on society and the environment, but also improving their financial performance, was something we saw as a key opportunity. There we partnered with leading activism and engagement fund Hermes Investment Management in the United Kingdom to purpose build this strategy, what we believe is the first public equity impact investing strategy market. With World Bank, while we wanted to allocate to World Bank debt, we did need the surety that in times of market stress, there would be sufficient liquidity. And so we worked with the World Bank Treasury to develop two different portfolios, a 1 to 5 year duration and a 5 to 10 year duration portfolio, where the World Bank will guarantee liquidity and issuance whenever needed. Combining those two bookends of our portfolio, we have a range of thematic environmental, social and governance equity strategies. We have an improving environmental, social and governance strategy, buying into companies which don't necessarily have the highest ESG ratings, but are improving that performance and are likely to continue to. And we have an allocation to green bonds.
Mark Hafley, what's your take on some of the new instruments that can deliver SDG compatible returns?
Well, besides the multilateral development banks, I think one of the places that we're most excited is partnering with firms like Hermes to offer ESG integration and get a better match between the client's desire to affect change and the companies that are willing to make changes.
Mark, next, can you tell us what impact philanthropy is and why it's of great interest to UBS?
Well, we have many clients that are very interested in philanthropy. And we see increasingly that the clients at the cutting edge want to do more in philanthropy. They want to do different things. They want to see a measurable difference that their philanthropy makes, not just simply write checks.
To you, Simon Smiles, next for your take on impact philanthropy too. Maybe you can help us look at this through the prism of an initiative like the Collaborative, hosted by UBS this week, which is focused on connecting philanthropists to scalable solutions.
Traditionally, a lot of money has gone into philanthropy. The difficulty, though, has been actually measuring the impact of that philanthropy. So as the sector has evolved, there's an increasing focus on how to maximize impact from the money being given away, and some significant progress being made. But the second area in philanthropy, which is perhaps surprising, is historically there's actually been a lack of collaboration in philanthropy. Philanthropists have tended to focus on their own projects and their own causes. It's something we've been working with clients to try and rectify.
That's why we're helping, you know, sponsor a fantastic collaboration between Last Mile Health and Living Goods, Raj Punjabi and Chuck Saunders, two philanthropic organisations which are now working together to maximise the impact they have on health outcomes in Africa.
Simon Smiles. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from a social entrepreneur and founder of an innovative and inclusive not-for-profit who explained how his enterprise works in the UBS white paper launched in Davos this past week. David Hertz is founder and president of Gastromotiva, a non-profit in Brazil that uses the power of food and the tools of gastronomy to train and educate people on food and the techniques of gastronomy to create jobs and deliver well-being for people in Brazil and now also across Latin America and in South Africa. David, first up, can I ask you what you mean when you use the term social gastronomy?
When we talk about education and employment, the hospitality industry is growing so much and we need skilled jobs. And there are, on the other side, a lot of people with skills that they need to be trained and they can be placed in the market. The third one is food education. We need to generate the resources to bring the right food education to the next generation and also to the parents and make sure every family has the right to real and good food. And the last but not the least is fighting food waste, but also to turn this system to fight hunger. And then we see tons of possibilities on that. So that's what we mean about a movement, is like any corporation, any agency, any city can support, can use those principles, these ideas, and develop their own programs.
David, partnerships are a key theme here. How critical are they in terms of expanding the social and environmental impact of what you do?
Since we started, it was always about partnerships. We started as an impact business. With the time, it became a non-profit. But it doesn't matter what kind of organization you have. It is about partnerships. Actually, we started in 2005 thinking about the 8 Millennium Development Goals. And at some point, the Millennium Development Goals number 8, which is partnership for success and for development, we always stick to that. So for many years, we've been struggling to get the best partnerships. And what has been changing over time, as we get more credibility, as we get all our measurements, is like a lot of the transactional partnerships are becoming much more institutional, and we're co-creating what is the legacy that we want to bring to the world. And for instance, when I make transaction, it's like, for give you an example, we train young people to become kitchen assistants. So if I can graduate 50 students, we'll look to a company or to a foundation to fund all those students. But nowadays it's much bigger than that, because we still do all our programs, but we partner with companies and foundations and also bilateral and multilateral agencies that we're all looking at the same perspective. On another note, we've been here all the week promoting what we call a social gastronomic movement. Like what we do at Gastromotiva, there are so many other organizations around the world, and I can quote what Jamie Oliver does in the UK, what the Clink does, which are restaurants inside prisons. They're creating impact with the same values and the vision that we have on using gastronomy to transform lives. And we're launching this worldwide platform. And the partnership that I want to appoint here are with Cargill. We've been working for the last 3 years in a local level with the local teams of Cargill, but now we're talking to headquarters. We're talking to the CEO, to the VPs, and they want to bring our social technology and our culture to Cargill, and we're co-creating models. So they will support us to become like a stronger organization, and we'll give it back to them how we operate and how do we create impact together. So for me, we always think together. It's not about so much what we're doing or the money that has been invested, which is for Cargill is $1.5 million for the next 3 years, but how much value we can create with our best minds that are united to create better impact.
And David, what about for-profit businesses and maybe them starting to flex their own impact muscles, if you like? Has your work, David, influenced them? Do you hope that if it hasn't, that it will?
I'm super glad to see banks like UBS and foundations and funds looking for impact investment. And I think when you talk about impact investment, of course, some can be donations for organizations, and there are all levels of organizations. Some must be philanthropic. But I think you can have so many options of business. For instance, at Gastromotiva, we're looking into do online courses. We're working with Carrefour and Coca-Cola, and we're leveraging these courses to take to other countries using the online expertise of like the companies that work with us, building the online programs, but also the local communities of chefs. And we're turning this into a business because there are so many cities and countries that we want to learn from Gastromotiva, and we want to share this knowledge in a sustainable way. So it's long term. And on the other hand, I would like to say that together with Chef Massimo Bottura and the journalist, Brazilian journalist Alexandra Forbes, we created Refettorio Gastromotiva in Rio to become the legacy of the Olympics. And this place is a restaurant school, and we only cook with food surplus. So when we started to see the amount of waste of fresh ingredients that could be used, we've been thinking on how can we create a food and beverage line of products that can also serve not only to make business, but to create impact and to invest in the impact that Gastromotiva does.
David Hertz. A final thought on this week's programme from Simon Smiles on the business sense that underscores the leadership good sense behind all the thinking we've been hearing about.
We're not just doing this out of a sense of altruism. It clearly is the world's largest private wealth manager. We do have a role to play. However, there's also a significant business advantage here. Clients want credible, market-returning, sustainable product. When we survey our clients, two-thirds of our younger clients want to align their values with their investments. Almost 90% of our female clients, 28% of our family office clients. So again, while it's the right thing to do from a leadership perspective, it's also the right thing to do in terms of business performance. And I think that's very important. Being able to make a market return with your investment and do good for society, there are parallels as a business to doing the right thing and also improving your financial performance.
And that's Simon Smiles, bringing us to the end of this 173rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.